I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What dark deeds unfold on the streets of Arkham? And which unwitting souls, innocent or impure, will succumb to the maddening call? The Call of Cthulhu.
Experience the unknowable horror and black comedy of Nerdy Show's Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, an RPG audio drama. Find it at CthulhuMystery.com or wherever you procure fine podcasts.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Dup tweed up dup dup tweed ow. Dup tweed up dup dup tweed ow. Ho! Dweep da doop da blue, dweep da doop da blue, dup tweed up dup doo dow.
Hi guys, it's Cap.
And Doug.
And Scatman Tony Crothers, who was the only one not participating in that theme song.
Yeah, that was, if that didn't ring a bell to you, that was the theme song to the 1994 animated series of Ben Edlund's The Tick. In 1988, it debuted as a standalone comic book after being a mascot for the New England Comics Company. It was the newsletter for a comic shop and then evolved into a full-fledged comic-y book in the grand tradition of Bob Burton's Flaming Carrot and Mystery Men and maybe a complete ripoff of the character The Roach from Cerebus the Aardvark. The debate lives on 30 years later.
Interesting.
But The Tick is a big blue ball of justice and a heart of gold.
With one of the best catchphrases of all time.
Oh, Tony, what is that catchphrase?
Spoon!
Excellent. Every decade has had its incarnation of The Tick since it was a comic book. In 1994, like you mentioned, animated series on Fox Kids lasted for three glorious seasons.
Was marvelous.
And then in 2001, a live-action adaptation starring Patrick Warburton in the role of his lifetime as The Tick.
And of course, in the late 2000s, 2010 or so, Chairface Chippendale brought it back to life in a Nerdy Show comic that I drew.
I had forgotten about that.
A lot of the world did, but, you know, I kept The Tick in the public consciousness. That was my contribution.
It was your soul. You did that. Yeah, you totally did that.
Just me with Chairface Chippendale writing chair fan fiction for Dungeons and Doritos.
Wow. Yeah, I'd totally forgotten about all of that. It's buried so far back, I'll be hard-pressed to link to it, but I will try.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. It's a dumbass fucking joke, but I love it.
So why are we talking about The Tick today?
That is an excellent question.
The Tick is back.
What?
Well, we knew this because about a year ago, Amazon debuted a pilot episode for a new Tick series starring Peter Serafinowicz as The Tick. And
holy God, was it that long ago?
It was that long ago, almost to the day, Tony.
Jesus.
I was surprised, too. I thought it was earlier this year. Turns out, nope, it's been a whole year.
Also featuring Jackie Earl Haley as the villain.
The Terror, yes.
The Terror. He's such a ham in that pilot, and he was marvelous. And Serafinowicz, while not Patrick Warburton, is serviceable as The Tick.
Well, here's the thing. During the week this episode comes out, there will be a couple more days until it debuts on Amazon. But I have seen half of the first season.
Yes, son of a bitch.
Because they have released the first six episodes of the first season, and then, obnoxiously, in 2018, we're getting the rest of it.
Huh.
The final six episodes, yeah. And it doesn't feel as though this mid-season break was an engineered pause. It's actually a little frustrating, but that's really beside the point. Here's the thing. If you listen to prior episodes of Nerdy Show, if you dial back to whatever episode it was that we talked about The Tick, which I will link to, you'll know that though I clearly, deeply love The Tick, there's a Tick poster here in the Nerdy Show studio from, I don't know what the copyright date on there is, but it's probably like 89 or 90. I love The Tick. I hated this pilot. I hated it a lot.
I liked it.
It made me laugh.
I didn't see it.
I thought it was problematic, had some really violent shifts in tone, but ultimately, I enjoyed it.
Well, see, it didn't make me laugh, which was a problem, because The Tick is a comedy show.
Supposed to be, yeah.
This was a very dark, intentionally dark show where they gave The Tick's unwitting sidekick, Arthur, a superhero origin story.
Tragic superhero origin story.
Yeah, and it was directed by the cinematographer for Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy and Inception.
That makes so much sense.
Right. In terms of why it was tonally disparate from what one would expect from The Tick.
And tonally disparate from what the script seemed to be in some scenes.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. So while my heart wanted to love a Tick episode, if this had been the first thing I'd ever seen of The Tick, I would have been like, don't greenlight this. It doesn't know what it wants to be. It's garbage.
But they greenlit it.
They did. And I'm glad they did. Because by episode 3, this show has totally found its footing. So here's the gist of this new Tick. It is a darker Tick. It is a more Watchmen-like Tick. It's like if Watchmen was a comedy on purpose. There are funny parts in Watchmen. But yeah. You know in Watchmen when they tell that story about the superhero who was a bank mascot who died because his cape got stuck in the safety doors when the bank was being robbed?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Tick is that.
Okay.
That's what this incarnation of the Tick is. And that has always been an element of various forms of the Tick.
Because he's dealing with very serious stuff. He just does it in such a naive, beautiful way that you're just kind of like, this is funny. I can laugh at this.
Yeah. Each different version of the Tick confronted the source material in different ways. The animated series, because it could do boundless things, was a full-blown surreal superhero comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patrick Warburton series, they didn't have any kind of a budget, so it was a superhero sitcom and edged very heavily on the superhero politics of what it is to be a duo and the gay innuendos of being a duo and stuff like that. It was a really sharp sitcom in that regard, and if they'd gotten more budget, then I think they did what they did very well there. Mm-hmm. But for example, there's an episode that ends with them being like, oh, Apocalypse Cow is attacking the city. And you see the reflection of flames and hear a sinister moo. And it's meant to be like a gigantic, like Godzilla threat cow mm-hmm. shooting nuclear fire from its teats or something along those lines. You didn't see that. You just heard it. And that's fine. You didn't necessarily need to see it, but it would have been pretty great if you did. So this new show, the gloves are a bit off in terms of what they can get away with visually. And it is, in many ways, a combination of all the different Tick incarnations, leaning really heavily on the tone of the comics, actually, because the sitcom was a different thing every day, the animated series was a different adventure every day, and this is sequential storytelling.
Okay.
And I guess to recap what happens in the pilot a little bit, Arthur's dad dies during a superhero battle. His favorite superhero team, their Fantasticar, basically, crashes into his dad, and then they all stumble out blinded by syphilis. And the terror shows up gleefully and then murders all of them in front of Arthur and then eats Arthur's ice cream.
Literally kills all of his heroes and eats his ice cream.
What a dick.
And this is photographed and it becomes like the fireman cradling like the kid out of the bombing in Oklahoma, you know? Right.
The rallying image that people sort of surround or whatever.
Yeah. So Arthur's the centerpiece of that as a kid. And he grows up extremely traumatized mm-hmm. and turns into a conspiracy theorist because a couple years later, the terror allegedly dies. He was in a battle with Superion, the Superman stand-in. He's not the character from the comics or the Warburton series. He's a different Superman kind of character. He's responsible for the blast in Russia.
The Tunguska blast?
Yes. That was him coming to Earth.
Oh, wow. He's old then.
Yeah, he's old. Timeless. He's still a young guy.
Oh, okay.
The terror is actually old and is human. But actually, that as old as one would suspect from them doing battle this whole time.
Hmm.
That's always been his vibe. Terror's been in comic books, cartoons, everything. And that terror scene, though very dark, was the highlight of the pilot. That was where it was working the most. And we get more of that. We get more of that vibe as the series goes on. And one of the things that bummed me out the most about the pilot was there's a strong implication that the Tick is all in Arthur's head. That he is 100% his subconscious that might be enabling him to do remarkable things while he's not looking. And, like, there's a scene where he's a little kid who's asleep and then has a blue nightlight and the blue nightlight's talking to him. I'm happy to say in episode 2, that's complete bullshit. And they sweep that under the rug. If they were ever going to do it, they're not doing it now. They fix that problem. The Tick has a full-blown conversation with Arthur's sister, Dot, and they move on with their lives.
Cool.
And it's so much better from that moment on. As soon as the Tick is out in the city interacting with people, fraternizing with the homeless dude down the block and making friends with the mother of the guy who runs the bodega, everything is great. Francois Chow, who played the Dharma Initiative dude on all the videos in Lost, plays Walter, Arthur's stepdad. And one of the best scenes of this entire series is the Tick crashing Arthur's stepdad's birthday party. And them just, you see this in the newest trailer. Walter opens the door and he says, "Well, look at you." And the Tick says, "Impossible." Classic Tick.
It really, his level of literalism is perpetually fantastic.
Man, I guess I need to start watching it.
Watching.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Reading. My favorite part of the pilot, aside from scene with the terror, because that really did work beautifully, thanks in no small part to Jackie Earle Haley just absolutely chewing every bit of scenery he could get his mouth around, is the Tick assaulting a location where there are like illegal arms dealers and all of them are opening fire on him and the bullets are just ricocheting and causing massive damage all the way around, including like ricocheting back into the people holding the guns. It's him completely oblivious to the danger he's in and the damage he's causing.
I thought that scene could have been a lot better, but I think it's because Serafinowicz wasn't comfortable in the role yet. And he gets very comfortable in the role. He's arrived, Tony.
I am really glad to hear that because Peter Serafinowicz is one of my favorite actors that nobody knows yet.
Nobody knows yet in the United States.
In the United States.
Yeah, Peter Serafinowicz was the original voice of Darth Maul.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
The one that we've heard?
As in, Ray Park was not speaking those lines.
Right.
Peter Serafinowicz was dubbing them.
Right. I didn't know. I mean, I knew it wasn't Ray Park, but damn, okay.
He's been done voice work in absolutely everything. The Pickle Rick episode of Rick and Morty, he was the guy who ran the facility that Pickle Rick shows up in. He's all over.
He's also the leader of the Nova Corps in the original Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, not leader, but like lead lieutenant type person.
Mm. The one who's not John C. Reilly.
Oh.
The one who goes, well, a bunch of assholes.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Serafinowicz is
versatile.
He is. Nice. And I was really bummed that he wasn't selling the Tick hard enough for in the pilot, but man, he gets there. He gets there. Everybody gets better suits. In fact, Arthur, when he sees the Tick for the first time in episode 2, which takes place like mere seconds after the end of episode 1, he's like, "Did you change outfits?" Like, just swept under the rug, completely different, much better looking.
That kind of beautiful self-aware.
Yeah. So if you had any hesitation about the Tick based on the pilot, if you didn't know it was happening, it's happening. Check it out. Get ready to be super excited only to have only 6 episodes to watch, but
there's more coming.
There's more coming.
2018.
Yeah. It'll be early 2018.
Man, be less of a wait.
Fucking drowning in superhero stuff that I got to catch up on. Just added more to the pile.
It's only 6 episodes and they're only half an hour each.
Yeah, but
so that's,
you know,
3 hours as opposed to the combination 30 hours you have to watch to get completely caught up on the Marvel Netflix universe.
Not counting Doctor Strange and Spider-Man Homecoming, which I still haven't seen.
Bummer. Those are good.
I know.
Especially Homecoming.
So, all right, I got like 8 days of, of just superhero stuff to get through.
Anybody fatigued yet? Anybody got that superhero fatigue?
Well, not after Homecoming. No, I'm back on. I'm back in. Let's do it. Let's do more.
Got to get it in before Thor Ragnarok.
Which looks pretty good.
Yeah, looks really good.
Apparently, one of the best lines out of the trailers that have been released, the "I know him, he's a friend from work," was written by a 5-year-old.
Oh, I heard that story. It was something about like,
it was like a Make-A-Wish kid
or whatever. Yeah.
So one last thought on the Tick. And if you're a fan of Ben Edlund's original comics, hopefully this is going to hit home. With the way that this is a slightly darker show, its comedy has really come alive. Like, I wasn't laughing in the pilot, but I was legit laughing throughout the rest of it. It's darker. It's sequential. I think there's a chance. There's a real, genuine chance that Amazon realize, and Edlund as well, realizing that they have the opportunity to do some really on-point parody of what's happening over at Netflix, they could adapt Night of a Million Zillion Ninjas, the first major Tick story arc, which has never been adapted in anything. And that is a direct parody of the same stories that inspired season 2 of Daredevil.
Ha!
That's kind of perfect.
Tony, you've read this, right? The ninja storyline?
I have a passing familiarity with it. If I read it, it was like 15 years ago and it didn't stick, because the only access I had to the Tick was the books that they had at the library.
Mm.
And they had bits and pieces of the novels for the Tick. So I think I remember Night of a Million Zillion Ninjas, and I remember the enemies in the SNES game.
Yeah, the really bad ninjas. Beat-em-up game,
yes.
Yeah.
That made no sense, but I wanted to play anyway because it was the Tick.
Yeah, so they could do it. Like, they could actually do it. Because the reason I don't think they did it in the animated series was that the joke was going to be lost on everyone, but now those Daredevil stories are more relevant than they have ever been.
Yeah.
So that you have the Electra stand-in, Oedipus, who wears that same outfit but in yellow instead of red, and these ninjas that are, like, everywhere, they're pests. A woman, like, hits one with a car by accident, and then the guy's like, did we just hit a ninja? Oh, don't worry, dear. It's not like it was a dog or anything.
Ah, that's
and
beautiful.
That follows the inverse law of ninjas. You remember this? The inverse law of ninjas is the more ninjas there are in a given place, the weaker they become. So
if it's a one-on-one ninja showdown, if
you, Tony, are standing in the middle of Times Square and it's literally a million ninjas around you, you will kick their ass. Like, just go through. Bah, 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 bah. But if you clear all of them out and then one ninja drops down from one of the skyscrapers,
you're
fucked. You will never beat him.
That is both the first and second season of Daredevil. employ that reasoning.
That's the rule. It always happens. Ninja Gaiden is an entire franchise based around this law.
Up until you get to the Xbox, in which case every single one of those ninjas can absolutely kill and kick your ass.
Yeah, but the more of them, the fact that there's more of them than you means you have a chance. If the whole game was just you fighting one other ninja, I don't know. But you are a ninja, so that, you know, that's
we've got a little bit more balance. Okay,
that's like the president has been kidnapped by ninjas. Are you a bad enough dude to save him? Yeah, I think I got it. wait. How many ninjas was it?
they had an S, so there were at least two.
At least
two. Which means that you've got 60 to 80%.
There's a better chance. If there's a million ninjas, you got it, no problem. If there's two ninjas, that's only slightly more difficult. That's slightly less difficult than one ninja. One ninja is basically impossible.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Nerdy Show. Remember, this show and all the shows in the Nerdy Show Network are entirely brought to you by listener support. Go to nerdyshow.com/support to find out the various ways you can join us, including subscribing on Patreon, one-time donations, shopping through our Amazon links, or, if you don't want to spend any money at all, rating and reviewing us on iTunes or Podchaser.
And on that note.
Yeah, on that note, since we're talking about ninjas, here's a classic track by the ninja rap duo Krondor Crew.
I wouldn't face them in a rap battle. Dust in your eyes, a surprise attack. I got you grasping at your throat as you stumble black. Black tack, screech your feet, the cow drops. I drop before, circled round once more. Fall to the floor, never more to stand. Cause the contraband I plan in the hand to hand and never yield to the other man. Smother him, snuff out life. Damn right, I'm getting everything to this fight. Take flight when your friends show up, they're gonna know what's up. A train killer ninja just lit your ass up. It'll be obvious to see when I leave that I breathe breath and breathe death with each step. Closer and closer to the end that I seek. Strike when the reek, make it leak like a whole breach. To each and all out of me, I'll do anything to win in this life, that's right. Now always be ruthless, mercy is useless. Overcome force with force, this truth is conclusive, I can prove this. You only got one life, so don't lose it. Always be ruthless, mercy is useless. Overcome force with force, this truth is conclusive, and I can prove this. You only got one life, so don't lose it. Yeah, yeah, do it again. The rain around me as it hits the ground and the sky cries loudly. My blade is drawn and my eyes stay steady, and if anybody moves then I'm ready to get deadly. Shogun showdown, it's six versus me. They murder my master, but I'm much faster. Are they ready to bleed? Yo, now lightning crashes and my sword trade clashing. Blade sweat and blood from all the cuts and slashing. Four arms fall and three legs get chopped. My sword swings high, head lop, two bodies drop. Another one moves and I remove his spleen. I slash two more as the final one lean. Super glue by his hand, but I slow to the head. Regain my honor, come on, master always said.
always be ruthless. Mercy is useless. Overcome force, live force. This truth is conclusive, and I can prove this. You only got one life, so don't lose it. Always be ruthless. Mercy is useless. Overcome force with force. This truth is conclusive, and I can prove this. You only got one life, so don't lose it. Yeah, yeah, doing it, yeah. Kills our crew, and I'm doing what I train and grain into my veins to fame the enemy heirs and samurai to or die. Meditate for days, imagine ways to slay in a haze. I wonder if I'll always be outnumbered. Last of my line, making me the sensei, and I swear upon my blade, it won't always be this way. The end of the road at last, to find the last of my kind. I decide to provide my assistance to the pupils with useful information on assassination. Rebuild the clan in the shadows of dojo, the darkness surrounding the sun and Ninjato. The ears can't count the number of blades drawn. When the daylight is gone, my ninjas chant on. Always be ruthless, mercy is useless. Overcome force, live force. This truth is conclusive, and I can prove this. You only got one life, so don't lose it. Always be ruthless, mercy is useless. Overcome force with force. This truth is conclusive, and I can prove this. You only got one life, so don't lose it. Yeah, yeah, doing it, yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.